listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM, and the official Wimbledon apps. Day one review.
From the far end, he serves down the centre. The flash bulbs flicker. It's an ace from Murray. The perfect end to what you have to say is a perfect start from Murray.
So the Wimbledon champion had a straightforward day one. How about the man he beat in last year's final?
Single-handed backhand from Golovev, forced out of court here. He chips it wide and it's into the tram lines. And that is a very solid opening match for Novak Djokovic. It's one down and six to go for the top seed.
Hello and welcome from me, Mary Rhodes, on what has been, well, for the most part, a lovely sunny start here at Wimbledon 2014. To help me look back on day one at the All England Club, I'm joined by former British number one Chris Wilkinson and our Australian commentator Peter Marcato. So immediate thoughts and reflections, Chris, on day one. A good day for you.
Good day for Andy Murray.
Indeed.
Very convincing today. I've just actually come off court number one. It was an intriguing match going on over there with Joe Wilfried Tsonga and Jürgen Meltzer. So it was a real shame that finished with potentially one game to go. So that was one of the highlights for me. But it's been a great day.
And Peter, last year on Live at Wimbledon Radio, you were my kind of end-of-day buddy to reflect, but we've now let you out of the commentary box, and it was the first day that you've been roving around and looking at different courts. How have you found it?
Yes, I'm a free-range commentator and reporter now, Mary, I'm pleased to say.
You've got your full licence. You've got your wings.
It is wonderful to be here. The atmosphere that always surrounds the first day of the championships is amazing. The anticipation, we've been waiting such a long time for this tournament to come around, and walking in, seeing the queue, the grandstands were packed all over the grounds. It was a great day to start off with weather-wise. We had a bit of rain towards the end, but everyone had a very good day. And I guess we're going to talk about some of the words to describe the day. I guess one of those words would be regulation, because a lot of the top seeds got through without too many problems.
True, not too many upsets today. Well, as Chris has already alluded to, it was a big day for Andy Murray. Wimbledon champion was first on centre court, as of course is traditional on day one at Wimbledon. And after a hero's welcome, it didn't take him too long to dispose of the Belgian David Goffin.
He looks up from the far end. He serves down the centre. The flash bulbs flicker. It's an ace from Murray. The perfect end to what you have to say is a perfect start for Murray. Under the circumstances, under all the pressure, the concerns perhaps about his form, about his back, but he dismissed those. And he has dismissed David Goffin in straight sets. 6-1, 6-4, 7-5.
But it was a very high standard of match. He was maybe a little bit nervous at the beginning, but I mean, the second and third sets, I thought the level was very high. We played some great rallies. He came up with some unbelievable passing shots, and yeah, glad to finish it in three because he was playing very well.
You've experienced every emotion on centre court. What was it like to go out there as the defending champion?
Yeah, it was nice. I mean, I was nervous this morning, I was nervous yesterday, and yeah, walking to the court, you know, it brings back a lot of good memories. And then yeah, obviously it's nice to walk out to a full crowd for the first match, and you know, got a nice round of applause. And then you know, once you sit down and share, it's time to get ready for this year, move on from last year and try and play my best.
And that was Andy Murray talking after his first round victory to Gary Richardson, 2 hours and 3 minutes. Chris, he described it as a nice reception. That's an understatement, isn't it?
They were very pleased to see him, weren't they? I think it's, what a great feeling coming back as defending champion, walking onto centre court, British public behind you. I mean, there's no better feeling in the game of tennis. And the crowd have warmed to him now. I think that we've gone over that period where maybe they didn't quite, you know, get on his side. But, you know, he's a Wimbledon champion. I mean, it's incredible.
Ticking a box today. Just ticking off the boxes for Andy Murray. The first time playing the first match on centre court. To get that out of the way, it was a wonderful reception for him, as it should be. And it was, as I said, a regulation win for him. And considering that he's got to play 7 matches to win the title, to have easier matches first up, well, just to relieve a little bit of the pressure, he's now into the tournament. He can start to build it nicely from there.
Yeah, and I think the scoreline was a good scoreline for him. So, like what you're saying there, he wasn't on court too long. You know, if you look at the French Open recently, he spent so much time on, you know, against Verdasco and Cole Schreiber, that when he actually got to the semi-finals against Nadal, he was pretty much burnt out. Mm. So it's important that the early week, the first week, is to get through those rounds nice and comfortably. But you still want a bit of a test. The third set was a tie to one. So you get the feeling of playing those big points. And, you know, as you say, it was a perfect start. of the day.
And his next round match with Blaz Rola.
Yes.
Right. There's a big, big, big prize here of something, when I've thought of it, for someone who can tell me all the 10 things that we never knew about Blaz Rola.
Well,
or one will do.
Well, he lost in the last round of qualifying the French Open. He lost in an epic match against James Ward. I think it was out 12-10 in the final set. The week after, he then came to Queens and played James Ward and lost again to James Ward. So I haven't seen an awful lot of him on the tour, but I mean, he's a lefty.
So fact number five about him, he's got a phobia of James Ward. I think we've learnt that today. But obviously, as it tends to happen at this event, whoever takes on Andy Murray, we get to know a hell of a lot more about, and certainly his media conference, he had a straight sets win today. Normally, that would be one or two reporters. It would be one of the side interview rooms. I think he was main interview room today because, of course, the British press wanted to find out all about Blaz.
And the transcript of his interview ran to 3 pages, and normally it would probably be about 3 paragraphs, so that does tell us a little bit more anyway.
And what did you find out about him? Have you got any interesting things?
Yes, well, no, I'm not sure that it's too revelatory, actually, because the main thing was when he said, and how much of a big ask do you think it would be in your next opponent? Very, very, I would say very. So I think that just about summed it up. Right, let's talk about the men's top seed, Novak Djokovic. Also safely into the second round. 6-1, 6-love, 6-4 victory over Andrei Golubev.
It was a great start, especially in the first two sets. Credit to Andrei for coming back and playing some good tennis in the third. But, you know, I cannot be happier with the performance. First official match on a grass court season this year in Wimbledon. Of course, it's never easy. You can never underestimate any opponent, and especially with no matches under your belt coming into Wimbledon, so you have to be extra careful there. So I started extremely well, was serving great, and just played a very good game for a first match.
Well, Golubev can be a tricky opponent, but how many problems did he throw in front of Djokovic, do you think, really?
None.
Not enough. Yes, pretty much.
Somewhere in between us, yes. I think, is where you'll get the answer.
I mean, the third set was a bit more of a competition, wasn't it? I think the first two sets was at love and one. So, yeah, you know, that went by pretty quickly.
One and love, yeah.
One and love, yeah. So, so it was a nice, comfortable first round for Djokovic. I mean, last week he pulled out of an exhibition match injured. So he's obviously maybe just testing his body out.
Yeah, well, he can do that at times, and he's not a big fan of playing any of the lead-up events. I suspect having 3 weeks next year of grass court lead-up tournaments, he might play a tournament there, but hasn't affected him. It hasn't affected him in the past. The top players know their preparation so well. They know if they need matches, they'll go and play matches. If they don't, and their workload's been okay, even though he's come off the French Open finals, his last tournament, he knows that his body's right, he's playing well, bit of practice, and he's flying along today too.
So under an hour and a half for his first round victory today, but what about the next stage of his draw, Peter?
Yes, he'll take on Radek Stepanek in the next round. An awkward second round for Novak, 6-2, 6-4, 6-4. Radek Stepanek getting the win over Pablo Cuevas. And the interesting thing here, Chris, is taking on Radek, who's a very experienced player, and they've played each other plenty of times, but Radek has had such good success on the doubles court. You'll be seeing a lot of chip charging. You'll be seeing a lot of old school tennis, grass court tennis. He'll be getting in there and trying to make Novak hit the targets side to side or the lob. It's a matter of how long he can stick in the match with Djokovic for. But it will be a tricky second round and a step up from the first.
OK, let's move on to talk about the ladies' singles. The highest seed in action on day one was China's Li Na.
Third match point for Lee, then, this time on the Kania serve, goes down the centre with it. Lee's forehand return, Kania with a forehand down the centre, backhand cross court from Li Na, then spanks a forehand down the line. It's good enough. Lee has won it, third match point, and Kania the qualifier and her Grand Slam debut.
Well, it's Paula Kania. She beat 7-5, 6-2. And we were talking a little bit earlier about the unknown quantities. And she certainly had, Li Na had an unknown quantity in her opponent today, which I think probably gives some credence to that scoreline, to 7-5. And the fact that actually it was Kania took the first game broker in the opening game.
Yeah, I think from Li Na's point of view, she's got a bit of a point to prove, having played pretty poorly at the French Open. Obviously, she did well in the beginning of the year down in Australia, so her form coming into this hasn't been great. So for her opponent, who's played 3 matches already, came through the qualifying, it's a good time to play one of the top players, and she certainly set a mark on the opening set, went away, got the head start, but obviously Lienard, the experience of playing on centre, I guess, the big points, the big occasions, really had an impact in the end of the match.
Yeah, interesting. She hasn't had the best record on grass, has she? Coming in as the second seed here will give her plenty of confidence, and it's a testament to the way that she's handled her season so far. Yvonne Moisberger, her next opponent, who had a 7-5, 6-3 win over Vania King. So, again, we talk about degrees in Grand Slam events and the challenge continuing to increase. The same can be said here. Moisberger, a very experienced player.
So, good wins today for Murray, Djokovic and Lienard. Not all the seeds made it through to round two, though. The American 18th seed, Sloane Stephens, crashed out. She lost in straight sets to Maria Kirilenko.
Like I said, today was just a tough day. I played a pretty solid player who's done well here before, so it was just a little tough, but I don't take, you know, terrible things from it. Sometimes you got to be a big girl and just work through all the things that are troubling you.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, a little bit. Again, you'd look at the quality of the opponent, and when the draw came out, that was a danger match for Sloane. It was always going to be when you play someone that experienced who has had reasonable results on grass court. And considering the level of success that Sloane's had across her career, particularly in the Grand Slams, this was a setback for her, but she's someone who'll be able to shrug it off and get back to the next tournament. She's got a really good temperament and disposition, and she'll be really stung by the loss, but she'll pick up and keep going.
Well, Sloane Stephens out then. Actually, not a great day to be a seed in the ladies' singles if you happen to have the initials SS, because the Australian 17th seed Sam Stosur lost in straight sets to Janina Rickmeyer of Belgium. I've got to ask you, Peter, yes, for a reaction on
yes,
that one.
Yes, yes. Again, it's one of those matches that was always going to be a danger match for Sam. Janina Rickmeyer, a quality player. Sam's had a bit of trouble of late, split with her coach, Miles McLagan. That was last week or the week before that actually occurred. So there's a bit of change going on in the Sam Stosur game. She's going to have to find a new coach. Her results on grass haven't been great. Hasn't made it past the fourth round here ever. It's a difficult surface for her, even though she's got the big weapons. She doesn't like the ball coming to her at her quickly because she doesn't have time to react, really get onto that forehand. And it was just shown up again today. But, of course, she said these things happen and she'll go on to the next event.
Yeah, surprising, because I think Stosur has a good game for grass. Mm. I mean, we've seen her play well and hard with a kick serve, and she likes to volley. She's good at coming forwards, and it's unusual not to see her sort of implement that sort of game plan. So, I mean, not only today, but over the years, coming back to Wimbledon, it's surprising not to see her go a little deeper. Mm. But you say her opponent, now coached by Kim Clijsters, is obviously going to have an impact on the way that she was playing as well. So, yeah, it's a little surprise.
And as for the gentlemen's singles, they lost Fernando Verdasco today. The number 18th seed lost in straight sets to Marinko Matosevic of Australia. Surprised to you that, Chris?
Not over surprised. I think Matosevic has been playing well. He's been playing a lot of grass court tennis, played well at Queens. He played a challenger in Nottingham a few weeks ago as well. I think he made like the semis or the final on that one as well. So he's got more experience on the grass coming into that match. And against Verdasco, yes, Verdasco has done well, but his record coming into this week on the surface hasn't been great.
Hard to get a read on where Verdasco's at the moment. He's been doing really well in the doubles court as well, has to be said. But it's that singles form. He has some good weeks and then he has some bad weeks. I think the confidence that Marinko took out of winning a round at the French Open the first time in 13 attempts he's got through to the second round, he's brought in here. So he can be very happy with his performance today and hopefully continue that on.
OK, well, let's talk more about some of the players who actually did make it through to the second round. David Ferrer threw in four against his Spanish compatriot, Pablo Carreño Busta.
Yep, was going to be straightforward, raced through that first set, then lost the second and got things going from there. But David Ferrer, you always know when you go out and you play Ferrer that you're going to be running and doing a hell of a lot of running, because he chases down absolutely everything and showed that today.
Yeah, but what's great about him is it doesn't matter what surface he plays on. You know, he's going to be out there getting every single ball back. He's going to make you work hard for it. I think he's won a tournament on every surface as well.
Yes.
So it just shows you how impressive he is. And can actually, you think today, oh, he's a clay court player. Can't play on grass. You know, far from it. I mean, the grass is slower nowadays, so it kind of complements the way he plays. And you've got to be so mentally tough to get through the Spaniard. And it's no surprise that he won today, and it wouldn't surprise if he goes deep in this fortnight.
And what about the 12th seed, Ernest Gulbis, through straight sets win over Jürgen Zopp of Estonia?
Yeah, he's turned his tennis around, Ernest. He's actually focusing on his tennis for a change. He was one of those that you put into the category of had enormous potential, but will he ever realise it? Well, I think now the light bulb is switched on and he is really focused. And this was a really tough match. I had a look at this one and three really tight sets. He was pushed all the way, but got through, and that's been one of the differences with his tennis now as opposed to a couple of years ago.
Yeah, mentally he's serious about his game now. I mean, it's always a bit flaky. He's got a good coach working with now, Gunter Breznik, who's a tough taskmaster. So he won't take any nonsense from Ernest Gorbis. He's going to get him working out there. A bit of old school sort of coaching, but it gets the job done. It was seen in the French Open where he just got through to the semi-finals where he beat Federer along the way. So, you know, I think he's serious and a serious contender to do well during this the fortnight as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit in a moment about Tomas Berdych, who was through in four sets. He lost the first set to Victor Hănescu. The number six seed told us that he's happy that all the pundits are tipping other players for the title.
Let them talk and put all the pressure on the other guys, and can be just sneaking under the radar and just doing my stuff. Keep focus on what's more important, and that's the way what I'm going to do on the court. So, you know, that's absolutely fine, and I'm just needs to prove it and play good tennis.
So sneaking under the radar.
Yeah, well, he's got the experience here. He's made the final, so he knows what he's doing on grass. You've got to, you know, behind those top two or three guys, who's likely to get through? And you always got to come up with the name Tomas Berdych. He's got the big game for it.
And Peter, just a word on other players, other men that caught your eye today?
Yeah, good performances getting through. Grigor Dimitrov, obviously talk about that next generation coming through, had a pretty good win today. Also Marcos Baghdatis, so we go from one end of the scale, the young, to the older end of the scale too. Had a pretty good win there too. And I think we had some sort of long matches along the way, but I think pretty much things went according to plan, particularly for the top seeds.
The only thing that didn't quite go according to plan was the weather, especially for those that were on number one court, where Joe Wilfried Tsonga was coming out at 5-4 in the fifth set against Jürgen Meltzer. The heavens opened and that was the end of that. So that will have to continue into day two of the championships, which is massively frustrating. All right, let's talk a little bit about the ladies' seeds that are through. Peter, give me an idea of the fancy players in the ladies' singles and talk a little bit about Azarenka and Petra Kvitova, both three.
Yep, good return for Victoria Azarenka. Been struggling with injury of late to the eighth seed against what could have been a potentially awkward opponent in Mariana Lucic-Baroni. 6-3-7-5, very good out on court number one today. Very, very impressive. As was Petra Kvitova, of course, the champion here a couple of years ago, had a really good straight sets win too. The first set was 6-3, and then the second set raced through 6-love. Very impressive. You always tend to go on a roller coaster ride with Petra because her game can have ebbs and flows in it, and we saw it a little bit there on court number three, but played very well, very, very well, as you would expect from someone of her standing in the first round of a tournament.
And the former champion Venus Williams, another who's through, beating Toro Flor of Spain in three sets, and the American said that she was happy to get back to winning ways.
It was great. I mean, I think my opponent played amazing. She just was playing so well, going for everything. So it was definitely a challenge today against someone who's just playing such inspired tennis. So it's definitely a nice start.
She's increasingly being known as the other Williams these days, isn't it? Is that being a little bit harsh, do you think, Chris?
A bit harsh, yeah. Five-time champion here.
Short memories.
But it just shows you what Serena's achieved, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's been incredible. I was watching Venus there for two sets, and I mean, some of her serving was back to the day where she was serving people off the court. So I think in for like a set and a half, she only lost 4 points on serve. I mean, she was incredible. A bit of a slugfest she had out on there on court too. Bottled it a little bit at the end of the second, but you know, it's all about coming through, isn't it? She got the win.
And Peter, any other from the women's draw?
Yeah, the 27th seed is out, Gabi Muguruza. I mean, grass isn't her favourite service. She prefers hard courts, but fell to the American Coco Vandeweghe. And I'm sure here on Live at Wimbledon Radio, we're going to be chatting to a lot of American journalists. There are some good players who are coming through. And a three-set win there, 7-5 in the third set. Also a win, I've got to mention the Aussie, Casey Delacroix, who came back from a set down against Annette Kontaveit of Estonia. 7-6-6-3, the final two sets. So good performance. Casey having a very, very good year.
Chris, not a great day for the Brits apart from Murray.
Naomi Brody won?
Yes. Let's start with the positive.
Should we just keep mentioning? Should I mention that 10 times?
Yeah, it's not going to make up, though.
It's not going to make up for the
list of defeats, is it, Peter?
No, it's not. But competitive performances, though, from some of the British players who fell today. Dan Evans falling in four sets to Kuznetsov of Russia. James Ward in straight sets to Mikhail Yuzhny, the 17th seed. He was particularly disappointed after that performance, shall I go on? Joanna Konta falling in three sets to Peng Shuai, so a tough opponent there. Carl Edmund falling to Andreas Heidemara of Austria. That was a straight sets loss. Dan Cox against Jeremy Shardy. That was a four-setter. Shardy, as we know, has had some pretty good results coming off the clay courts and then moving on to the grass as well. So, yeah, a tough day for the Brits, but these things do happen. But as I said, there were some competitive performances in there.
Good. So that's all sorted then.
Any positives?
It's a shame, isn't it? I mean, it is a shame. I mean, it's just it's reality, isn't it? It's reality of where we're at. You know, the standard where you're playing at, and you're playing against guys who are top 50, top 100 players in the world of their sport. You know, they're not rubbish. And if you're not quite good enough, you get exposed at this level. I mean, Yuzhny is a tough draw for Ward to play. You know, he plays some incredible tennis, was the Russian. You know, great experience with Carl Edmund, you know, playing out here at Wimbledon again. He's still a youngster. He's got a few more years ahead of him. Dan Cox, I think it's first or second time he's played here, played against Jeremy Shardy. Tough draw. Dan Evans, I guess maybe that was one that could have you could probably look at and think could get a win there, considering how well Dan's done over the year, the US Open run last year, Zagreb semi-finals, won a round at Queens, beat Meltzer. So, you know, it's, you know, you see, I'm doing positive here.
I like the positive vibes,
yes. I'll add to the positive as well.
Go for it.
Because we have a similar situation in Australia with some of those up-and-coming players. And admittedly, we've got 11 in the draw this year, first time since 2001.
Luke Saville won today.
Luke Saville did. Sam Groth lost, unfortunately. But Luke Saville, former junior champion here. Yeah. But it's what the players can do off the back of these performances that'll be the key, because a lot of the players there, the British players, will go and play on the second tier tour, try and qualify for some ATP events, and then whether they can sort of push from this will be the key.
Yeah, it's easy to come to Wimbledon and you think, okay, that's it, tennis is 2 weeks of the year.
Mm.
But it's not.
No, you it's know, the grind,
it's,
isn't it?
It's what about you do, as you say, after, when they go and play more tournaments, you know, get their ranking up, then get in the top 100, then they get automatically into the Grand Slams. And, you know, you've got to try and build on the experiences that you gain from the Grand Slams that you're in.
Well, aside from the action on the court, live at Wimbledon Radio, we always like to have a little bit of fun off the court as well. And I think the highlight from day one was probably when Thomas Burdick met our intrepid reporter, Sonia McLaughlin.
Richard from the ATP said to me earlier, ask him about the naked photo shoot. So Annabelle Croft, who's sitting just across from me, hi, she Googled this and brought up said photograph. And Thomas, I've seen way more of you than it strictly should on first meeting, I think. You're not shy, are you? That's one thing I'm going to say about you.
No, I'm definitely not. I mean, yeah, probably you've seen more, but no, I mean, that was the reason, that it was a purpose, and I'm really glad with the results, and I think that looks quite good.
It could only happen to Sonia, couldn't it, that really?
Oh, he's out there. It's good.
Well, that's one way of putting it.
Thomas has got a really good personality, Thomas Burdick. I really didn't mean it that way, but okay, we'll go with that. If you follow him on Twitter, he's quite funny. He's got a really great personality. Good for the game.
He's very good for the game. He's actually quite humorous, isn't he?
Yes.
I guess in the past you expect him as a sort of a hard sort of person, but he's actually got a lovely personality about him.
And that's what we want. We want some characters in the game, without a doubt. We want some good personalities. Now, this is a new little initiative that we're introducing. This is going to test your editorial skills or your summary skills.
Is there a theme for it yet?
There is. It's just called...
No.
The clue's in the title, Peter. Wait for it. It's called Three Word Wimbledon. So I need you to sum up day one of the championships in three words.
Okay, so you're going to me first.
Yes.
Do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
If you like. Toss the coin. Ready? Heads or tails?
Tails.
Well, okay, it's heads. That's me then. Oh, dear. Got that wrong.
I'll tell you what, I'll go first to give you a few more seconds to think about it.
I'm ready. We're just playing.
So given the rain, okay, given the rain and the state of matches, mine is oh so close.
Very good. Like it. I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Do they have to be consecutive words to form a sentence?
Well, that's the general idea. It's got to make sense.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm going to go for...
I think...
I'm going to go
okay,
for...
Okay, it's day one. I'll give you, if I'll be generous. You can just three words that sum it up.
Wimbledon, wonderful wonderland. There you go. It's sort of saying that it's great to be here.
Wimbledon, wonderful wonderland?
Yes.
Okay. Peter?
All three W's as well.
See, my words don't make any sense
That's
together.
Okay. Just go for
regulation,
it.
Regulation, rain, and crowded. So regulation, the results today, the rain that arrived late in the day. You can't have a day go by where there's not the threat of rain. And crowded, the crowds today were exceptional. It was great, wonderful atmosphere.
Now, let's move on to day one. Good work, guys. I think maybe a little more work on that for day tomorrow.
Do we get a prize?
But to be fair, no. But to be fair, I did only give you about 5 seconds notice. Let's have a look at the order of play for day two.
No, I want a prize.
I'll buy you a cup of tea later.
Here you go.
Right?
Here's the page with the order of play. Okay. Congratulations.
And you're wearing your glasses, Chris, so you at least can read it.
Order of play, three words.
Very good. Which is what?
A little less inventive.
I feel as though I'm losing control
Centre
here.
Centre court
if I
tomorrow.
Ever had it.
Big ceremony, we should mention, for Marion Bartoli, of course, the champion from last year who retired. So a special ceremony for her. But Sabine Lisicki, as the runner-up, will open proceedings on centre court against Julia Klushko of Israel. Rafael Nadal, the second seed, will take on Martin Klizan of Slovakia. Interesting match there. Serena Williams will take on Anna Tatishvili out there on centre court. So that's that program. On the number one court, Roger Federer, the fourth seed, will take on Paolo Lorenzi. Maria Sharapova, the fifth seed, will take on Samantha Murray. And Eugenie Bouchard will take on Daniela Hunticova. So very interesting programs and very interesting matches to come.
Standout ones for you, Chris?
I think they've obviously got to add a bit of Songa and Meltzer in there as well. Court
yes,
one. So that'll
yes.
be good to see
good
the end of that. For me, I'm looking forward to seeing Nadal play. I think against Martin Klizan is going to be a tough opening match. I mean, that guy's good. You know, he knows what he's doing. And for Nadal, if you like, let's say his first real match, he's playing on grass. I don't really say going to Halle and sort of turning up isn't really, you know, in that same sort of category. So for me, this is a good test to see where he's at. I mean, he said that his preparation is good. He's not feeling his knees, unlike last year. So for me, that's going to be the one I'm going to keep my eye on.
And just...
Yes, look, I agree with you on Klizan. He's a very good player. But also Daniela Hunticova, Eugenie Bouchard. Eugenie Bouchard, talking about the next generation of women's players coming through against the veteran Daniela Hunticova. Danger match first up.
Thank you very much indeed. My thanks to Peter Marcato and to Chris Wilkinson. Plenty more from those two to come over the next fortnight. Make sure that you join Marcus Buckland at the Live at Wimbledon radio team from 9 o'clock British Summer Time for full uninterrupted coverage and live commentary. Wayne Ferreira, Barry Cowan and Jan-Michael Gamble are among the stellar cast of experts joining us throughout the championships. You can listen to us on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon and TuneIn apps. If you're in the US, you can catch us on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, presented by ESPN. And remember, you can tweet us your views at Live at Wimbledon using the hashtag Wimbledon. Email us, radio@aeltc.com, and you can like us on our Facebook page, or you can send us Wimbledon related pics via Instagram or Pinterest. So after a largely sunny day at Wimbledon with some glorious tennis around the All England Club, that's all from me, Mary Rhodes. Thanks for joining us. I'll be with you again on day two of the championships. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Live at Wimbledon Radio on Wimbledon.com, 87.7 FM and the official Wimbledon apps.